Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to us. And not only in the morning, in the afternoon, and at evening, speak to us so that we hide your word within our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And help us to be just like a tree planted by the stream of water, by the living water. And help us to be a Christian that who meditate on your word and study your word and examine your word all the time. And so that we are guided by your word. And so that we speak like Jesus, we talk like Jesus, we're going to act like Jesus. And in due time, and just like what Apostle John has said, if we are like you today, and when we see you face to face in the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will have confidence to receive reward from you, O Lord. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us today, and as we study your word, open our heart so that we can hide it. Open hide your word within our heart, and open our ear that we can hear. Open our eyes, we can see the wonderful thing that's written in your word. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I tell you the bird view of the book of Hebrew. The author, I think, is not Paul. If it's Paul, and Paul will say it is Paul. Paul has written 13 books. Every book he say he write his name Paul, but the book of Hebrew I believe is written by Apollos. He's one of the Paul co-worker, and he's helped by Paul indirectly too, because as Apollos went to the church of Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla, and these are the couple that Paul worked for them because as a tent maker. And so this couple study God's word and learn God's word from Paul. And as Paul went to Ephesus, and Paul wanted this couple to go with him. And when Paul left, and this couple met Apollos. And Apollos learned, because this couple is very, very humble. He realized that Apollos, he only know the baptism of John the Baptist. He doesn't know Jesus' baptism. So this couple taught Apollos. Would you please read that letter? Acts chapter 18, starting from verse 24, and all the way to 19, say verse 2 or whatever.
Acts
18:24.
All the way to 19:2. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man.
So who is he? He's a Jew, right?
Yeah.
So he's a Jew, and the book of Hebrew was written to the Jews. Most of the Jews, they don't believe Jesus is the Christ. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't. If they don't, that means they don't have the key to heaven. Okay? And Apollos is a Jew, and he wants to turn his people to believe in Jesus Christ. So that's why. Okay, he himself is a Jew. Okay, meanwhile, a Jew's name Apollos.
He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit."
So keep going on to verse 7.
So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all.
So in other words, Paul taught the couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And Priscilla and Aquila listened to Apollos' preaching, knowing that he's a good preacher, but he only know the baptism of John. The baptism of John is the baptism of repentance in 19 verse 4. He didn't know Jesus' baptism, because Jesus baptized people with the Holy Spirit. So this couple and taught Apollos, and then write a letter of encouragement to other churches to receive Apollos. Okay? So, and I believe this book was written by Apollos. Okay? Now, this is the background. And so the reason why the author writing this book to the saint, because they face persecution. I want you to write down a few Bible verses right beside here. What did I say? You write down Acts. What did I just say? Acts
18:24
all the way to 19:7, right? And also you write down some Bible verses. Why the author put emphasis into Jesus? Because from the Jewish point of view, the Jewish people, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So you write down Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 22. Go and read that. Gospel of John. What is the reason why they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Jesus is the Christ. Could you read that? 9:22.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue.
Anyone who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, would be put out of the synagogue. You'll be kicked out. So this kind of synagogue is the synagogue of Satan. If you do not believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, you don't have eternal salvation. You don't have eternal life. So you write down 9:22. You write down 12:42-43. And you write down 16:1-4. And you write down 20:31. You read all these Bible verses, you know why? The importance of knowing who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. If you do not believe in that, you cannot go to heaven. Okay? So you read 12:42-43. Gospel of John, chapter 12:42-43.
Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God.
They know that if anyone confessed the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, would be put out of what? Of synagogue. They are afraid of being put out of synagogue. In those days, there's only one synagogue in every city. You put out the synagogue, then you have no place to worship. But you know what happened? When Paul went to the synagogue and preached Jesus the Christ, then he get kicked out. Those he get kicked out, and some people follow Paul, and they establish a church in Christ Jesus. And they don't call a synagogue anymore. They call what? The Church of Jesus Christ. You understand? 16:1-4.
All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you.
So in here, it's getting worse and worse, right? At first, anyone who acknowledged Jesus the Messiah, anyone who confessed their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, now if you preach about our Lord Jesus Christ, if you preach about Jesus, saying that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ, they want to kill you. They don't just put you off the synagogue. They kill you. That's exactly why they killed Jesus Christ in the first place. You understand? Now, 20:30-31.
Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
So in other words, in here, Apostle John is very selective when he writes the Gospel of John. He only recorded certain miracles, certain things that Jesus has done, certain things that Jesus has said. The reason why he picked certain things, he has one thing in common. He just wants to make sure those readers who read the Gospel of John believe that Jesus is the Christ, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. By believing that, believing the right thing, that's the foundation of our faith. By believing that, you may have life in his name. Otherwise, you have no eternal life. You know what? You go and try to say to the elderly people, you ask him to read some scripture. All of a sudden, they can't read, especially the word Jesus Christ. You understand? Because by believing in that, you have eternal life. Satan was stopping them. It's really sad. Now, I want you to also write it down right beside, at the beginning of the book of Hebrew. You write down 1 John. It's also written by John. Chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 22.
Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is a Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son.
Verse 23.
No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also.
Unfortunately, the Jews say, I believe in God the Father, but I do not believe in Jesus. But the Jewish apostle, John, saying that, if you do not have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you do not have the Father. So in other words, the Jewish people, they don't really believe in God. You understand? So you write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 22-23. And then I want you to write down another Bible verses. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. With all this background, you know why the author of the book of Hebrew, he spent so much time in telling us who Jesus is and prove who Jesus is from the viewpoint of the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament Jews, they say, oh, I believe in the Old Testament. I believe in Moses, but I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Hey, you know what John say? You believe in God without Jesus, you don't believe in God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't tell me you believe in God and yet you do not believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because God himself make a testimony for Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus, that means you don't believe in God. 2:9, 3:9. who are the liar, who are the ones is they claim himself to be what? To be Jews, but they are not Jews. Read that. 2:9, 3:9.
I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
The slander of those who say they are Jews. You know who say that Jesus was filled with the evil spirit? Who say that Jesus rely upon the demon to cast out demon?
Pharisees.
The Jewish people say that. Not the Gentile. You understand? They are liar. They slander Jesus. Okay? What about 3:9? Who is the liar? Revelation 3:9.
I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you.
Why Jesus saying that they are liar? 2:2, 1 John 2:2, who is a liar? Who denied Jesus is the Son of God is a liar. He's the Messiah. You say he's not? And you know what? The leader, the preacher, the teacher of the law, the scribe, the high priest, the priest, they all deny Jesus is the Messiah. They teach them. They teach the Jewish people that Jesus is not the Messiah. And then they don't read the Bible themselves. And they believe in them. Now I want to stop here. As a Christian, we never just believe in what the pastor say. I check him out. Whatever you say, tell me where you get your basis. Where is your foundation? What is your foundation? Tell me, where is it? I go home and read the Bible, that portion of the scripture. I check it out myself. Then you know what you believe. You understand? So, I want to tell you one more thing. You know how I learn how to be a preacher? Not from the seminary. I learn it from the scripture. Like I learned it from the author of Hebrew, I learned it from Matthew, I learned it from Paul, I learned it from John, I learned it from Peter. Whenever they say something that you never heard of, they say, as it is written in the Old Testament. And then he quote the Bible verses. In other words, this is not the new thing that I tell you. If you read the Old Testament, you know that this is what the prophet has said. Moses and all the other people have said. You understand what I'm trying to say? So whatever you preach in the future as a Sunday school teacher or as a preacher, you make sure whenever you make a statement that your brother and sister has never heard of, don't know where it come from, you tell him that's where it come from. And besides, you know what the Old Testament said? When you make a testimony, you testify certain thing, you say certain thing, make sure you don't just quote what Moses has said. Tell me, what about Elijah? Did he say the same thing? Don't tell me, oh, only Moses said that. The other person don't say that. You have to have at least 2 witnesses. Then I believe in it. If you say this is what Paul say, if that is a hard message, hard to explain, now I want to hear what Peter say. Did he say the same thing? If you find out Peter say the same thing, Paul say the same thing, you believe in it. You understand? Okay, with all this background, now we study who Jesus is. The book of Hebrew, using 13 chapters, is to tell the Jewish people who Jesus is. In other words, hey, he tell who Jesus is. He didn't say, oh, I say Jesus is this, Jesus is that, based upon what the scribes say, based upon what the high priest say. No, he say based upon what the Old Testament has said. In other words, you say you are Jewish, eh? You say you believe in Old Testament, eh? Did you study that portion of the Old Testament that talk about Jesus? And that is how the author proved who Jesus is. First of all, when he tell us who Jesus is, in verse 1 all the way to in verse 4, then he compare Jesus with angel. You know why he compare people with angel? So I want you to write it down. So remember I asked you to write down book of Acts, right? John, 1 John and Revelation, right? I want you to write another author. Colossians. Okay? Take a look at what Paul saying. Why this author compare Jesus with angel? Because a lot of Jewish people, sometimes they don't believe in God, but who do they believe? They believe in angel. Like Catholic too. You know what? Like If you go to a car and you see a cross and then you see angel, you know he is a Catholic. When you see a cross with Jesus Christ cross, hang on the cross, definitely that's a Catholic. Because Protestant, they don't have a Jesus on the cross. Because my Lord Jesus Christ has already been resurrected. Not in the tomb, if the tomb is empty, nor in the cross. Okay? You understand? And I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 all the way to the end. 16 to 23. You write it down right beside Hebrew. So that Colossians is written by Paul, 2:16 to 23, isn't it? Yeah, read that, please.
Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Oh, look at that. Jewish people put a lot of emphasis is, I keep the Sabbath day. On Saturday, I don't work. I don't do any cooking and all that. He bragged about that. Then it proved that, oh, he's a holy man. No. All this thing is not the reality. Who is the reality? Jesus Christ, the reality. Okay? All these things are the shadow of the thing that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Verse 18.
Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels...
You see the word? Worship an angel? Some Jewish people, they worship the angel. You know what the author of the Hebrew say? The angel is who's the angel? The angel is the ministering spirit serving us. Every believer has at least one angel to serve us. Okay? And yet they worship the servant. I'm not going to worship the servant. I worship the Lord. Right? Why would I worship angel? Some people worship the angel. Verse 18. Do not let anyone who delight in false humility and the worship of angel disqualify you for the prize. If you worship the angel, you displeased God. You are disqualified. Your worship is in vain. We don't worship any created being. We don't worship pastor. We don't worship high priest. We only worship Jesus Christ and God. You understand? Such a person, worship angel, read that.
Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with the idle notion.
He even tell you, I seen the angel. I seen that. There's no use. Nothing great about that. You understand? 19.
He has lost connection with the head.
Who is the head? Has Jesus Christ.
From whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use.
You know what the Jewish people bred about? Something is holy thing, I cannot handle, I cannot taste, I cannot touch it. You know, he bred about all this kind of thing. It's only the shadow. Okay? It's not a reality. Verse 22.
These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings.
That's not God's command. It's man's command. Human command, okay? It's not God's teaching. It's human teaching. Don't worship God based upon human command. Don't worship God based upon human teaching. I want you to write beside that, human command. You write down Matthew 15:9. You worship God based upon human command and based upon human teaching, your worship is in vain. Go and read Matthew 15:9 first.
They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.
But rule taught by men, that means human teaching. human command, right? If you worship God based upon human command and human teaching, I want you to write beside human command and human teaching, I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 4:24, if I'm right. God is spirit. God requires those people who worship him in true and in spirit. True is not human command. True is God command, God's word. Okay? Could you go to John 4:24?
God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
What is the truth? Right beside the truth, you write down 17:17. What's the truth? Your word is the truth. It's God's word, not human command nor human teaching.
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Your word is God's word, right? Not human command, not human teaching. Okay? Unless that pastor teaching God's word, then I know it's God's word, it's not his word. Right? So now go back. Go back. I want you to read it one more time. Verse 22. Colossians chapter 2, verse 22.
These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings.
By the time you use human command, by the time you use human teaching, you find out, no, it doesn't work. But by the time you follow God's word, you find out it works. That's exactly what is, you know, what I experienced. You know, God's word is the truth. Okay, verse 23.
Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Okay, human command, human teaching cannot make you holy. Only God's word can make you holy. You understand? Human command cannot make you holy. Only God's command can make you holy. Psalm 119, verse 9. What did the Bible say? Gospel of John 15:3. What did the Bible say? Psalm 119, verse 9.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
No, 19,
118.
Yeah, 119:9.
How could a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word.
So, God's word can make me holy. Can make me pure. Right? And then you write beside 119:9, you write down Gospel of John 15:3.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
When we hear the word of God and obey the word of God, we are cleansed already. You know what's the definition of God? Go to Psalm 118, verse 32. 18:32. I want you to write it down right beside 119:9. You write 18:32. Psalm 18:32. What's the definition of God?
It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect.
What's the definition of God? Who arms me with strength. I'm weak, but God is powerful. And I'm not holy. I'm not perfect. But God make an imperfect person become perfect. He's God. Because he's a holy God, his word, a holy word. His word, when I hear his word, I become holy. My life was changed. Eventually by his word. You know, amazing, eh? Just beside, before we have a Bible study, and siphon. You know, he cried. He said he heard me preaching, saying that I may not live for long. He afraid that when I leave, then he don't know whether he will keep on believing in God. I say, don't worry. You keep on studying God's word. You'll be in Christ. Hide the word of God within your heart, then you live in Christ and in God. You know that kind of person, nine months ago, he wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. He hear the word of God on every Saturday, every Friday evening, Saturday morning, and go and serve God with us. And every Sunday, three times a week. And on top of that, at home, he memorized Bible verses. His life was changed. I know God is a holy God. He make me perfect. God make my way perfect. We used to walk in a wicked way. Now he walk in a new way. It's only God's word can change people. I know God is the God who armed me with strength. At first I say, I can't do it. Now, yes I can. Yes I can. I can do all things through him who give me strength. Do you know where we caught it? That's the definition of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You write it down right beside 42. Psalm 18, 42. You write down Philippians 4:13. Read that.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
That means it is God who armed me with strength, isn't it? I confess that I'm weak, I'm limited, I'm not perfect, but my God is a perfect God. My God is a holy God. My God is a mighty God. If I keep on following him and listen to his word, and one of these days, my thought, my word, my speech, my action, just like Jesus Christ. Now go back. With all this background, we studied the book of Hebrews. Who Jesus is. Okay? Who Jesus is. Read that. Starting from verse 1 to verse 4, first of all.
In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Why would he say he's much superior to the angel? Because some people worship the angel. You understand? If you worship the angel, you may as well worship Jesus Christ. Stop worshiping angel. Besides, in chapter 1, verse 14, are not all angels, or not exception, no exception, are not all angels ministering spirit sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We are destined to inherit the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. All angels serve us. They are ministering spirit. We are the boss. They are the servant. We don't worship him. Nor do we receive his worship. We all receive God. You understand? Now, go back to Revelation. Apostle John, in two occasions, because he get a revelation, he got a revelation from the from the angel, and then he has the tendency to worship the angel, and then the angel stopping him, saying, "No, don't worship me, because I'm just a servant to you." Revelation 19, verse 10. Could you read that? First of all, start with 9 so that you know some background. 19, 9 and 10.
Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God."
Who tell John? The angel. Wow, he say, "Blessed, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And the angel added, "These are the true word of God." Wow, now Apostle John learned something new. He never know that before. So what did he do? Verse 10.
At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
We only worship God, the Heavenly Father, and we worship God, Jesus Christ. We don't worship any other person. You understand? Never worship angel, nor any created being. Angel is a created being. Never worship idol either. This is the first time John tried to worship the angel. The angel stopped him. Because the angel is afraid. If the angel receives worship, then the angel will be kicked out. Okay? Now, go to Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter. Verse 8 all the way to 9.
I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the word of this book. Worship God."
Do you know why Apostle John mentioned a choice? One is 19, one is 22 in the Revelation. Because Jewish people has the habit of worship angel. You remember Colossians chapter 2? Stop that. Even the angels say, "Stop that. Don't worship me, worship God." You understand? Now, okay, go back with. I want you to write it down also right beside the first chapter, right beside Hebrew. What did I say? 19 what? Revelation?
19.
10?
Yep.
9 to 10.
9 to 10?
Oh, 9.
Okay. 9 to 10. And then? 22?
8 to 9.
8 to 9? Write that down. So that you know. You know why the author put so much effort to compare Jesus with the angel? It's for the Jewish people. Not for us, but now it's for the Catholic too. You understand? So if you have any friends that who are Catholic, and you go to a bed yard, go to the front yard, you will see some angel there. You understand? So then you have something to tell them. Based upon second chapter of Colossians and also Revelation, even the angels say, "Do not worship me, worship God and worship Jesus Christ." Why would we worship this kind of stuff? Right? Okay. Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, one thing I learned is in the past, God spoke to our forefather through the prophets, not singular, not one prophet, numerous prophets at numerous times and in various ways. What do you mean by in various ways? Sometimes God speaks to us with the object lesson, just like in Jeremiah, chapter 19, you know, Jeremiah chapter 19, he take the leaders of the priests, high priests, and the elders of the Jewish people to a certain place, and then crack the vessel. It's object lesson for them to see, so that to learn the lesson. Sometimes God asks his servant to suffer a certain way, so that they say, "Oh, how come you suffer this way?" Same as he allowed Job to suffer like this. Through his suffering, God speaks to us. We have to submit to God. Submit to God in what way? Psalm 145 verse 17. In all his doing, God is righteous. In all his making, God is loving. Could you read that? God is not only a righteous God, God is a loving God too. 145:17.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made.
So God is a righteous God. At the same time, God is a loving God, right? So God speak to us. God spoke to us at many times and in various ways. Why would he speak many times? Because people don't listen. Why would he speak to us in various ways? Because one way we say, oh, I heard of that. But he never changed. You know why God has to teach us in various ways? Because we are stubborn. We say, oh, I heard that. Yes, no question about that, you heard that, but your life hasn't been changed. So he teach you in another way, hoping that through this way, your life will be changed. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you learn something right away, you only need one way. You don't need any other way. So that means we are stubborn, we are rebellious, and we need to repent. In the past, God spoke to us through the prophets. Not one prophet, because they don't say, I don't like this prophet, I like the other one. All right, you know what? When they say to Jesus in, let me see. I think in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Chapter 9. What do they say? They rebuke the Pharisee, rebuke the blind man. Say, you are Jesus' disciple. We are Moses' disciple. And Jesus heard that. He said, you are Moses' disciple? Okay, in Revelation chapter 11, I sent Moses back. I want to see whether you are his disciple. You are his disciple? I want to make sure that word's going to condemn you. Because you are not. You don't believe in Moses. Do you find that? Gospel of John, chapter 9. Verse 28 to 29. You read that.
Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple.
This fellow, he didn't even want to mention the name Jesus, okay? He hates Jesus, okay? Because the word Jesus means Joshua. Joshua means savior. He didn't even want to mention this name because he thinks that he doesn't deserve to have that kind of name, okay? So that fellow's disciple, that guy, you know. And then we are what?
We are disciples of Moses.
I want you to write it down right beside here. You write down Matthew. His word going to condemn him, okay? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 verse 37. Read that.
For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
You say that you are Moses' disciple? Jesus said, no problem. In Revelation chapter 11, I'm going to send Moses back. Some people claim to be Elijah's disciple. I send Elijah back. I will send these two fellows. I want to see whether you believe in them. They don't. Only one third of them believe. Two-thirds, they don't believe. Where does it say? In Zechariah. That's what it say. Okay, now, go back. So, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last day, now is the last day. I want you to write down right beside the last day. What's the definition of last day? When you see that there's many antichrists appear, then you know it is the last day. based upon the definition of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. You say what the last day is like. 2:18. But in the last day, 1 John chapter 2:18.
Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour.
When you see a lot of pastor, a lot of people claim that they are the Messiah, they are the Christ, you know it's the last hour, it's the last day. You understand? So, in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, but in the last day, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Why he is the heir of all things? Because everything belongs to him. And through whom? Through Jesus Christ. God made the universe. God the Father made the universe through Jesus Christ. And God appointed Jesus Christ to be heir of all things. Now, I want you to listen to the word heir of all things. That all things finally reduced to what? To unshakable things. I want you to write it down. Go to Hebrew. Let me see. Chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that means now this universe, part of it can be shaken. The verse 27, the word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, and that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So I want you to write it down right beside heir of all things, then you know what all things means. Heir of all things means chapter 12, 28, isn't it? To 30. Read that one more time. Oh, I'm sorry, 27. 27.
The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire.
So God has appointed Jesus Christ to be heir of all things. When Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, I want you to write beside heir, you write down Romans 8:17. If Jesus Christ is heir of all things, we are heir of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ, for sure we're going to inherit everything that Jesus inherited, as long as we are willing to suffer along with Jesus Christ. If you want to be heir of all things, just like God has appointed Jesus Christ to be heir of all things, you got to suffer with Jesus. If you suffer with Jesus, you're going to what? You're going to reign with Jesus. You're going to be heir with Jesus. 8:17, could you read that? Romans.
Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Isn't it wonderful? God appointed him to be heir of all things, and now we are co-heir with Christ. Don't you know that whatever God gave it to Jesus Christ, God have the same intention to give it to us? Do you know that? Do you know that in Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, Jesus Christ say, Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that means the revelation belongs to Jesus Christ. Who gave it to Jesus Christ? God gave it to Jesus Christ. Whatever God gave it to Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ want to give it to his servant. Through what? through the angel, give it to Apostle John, and Paul, Apostle John, write it down in Revelation. Now we read it. Now we receive it. Brother and sister, if you do not read the God's word, you don't even know what God has given it to you. You don't even know that Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, and we are co-heir with Christ. Do you know why God make the universe so many stars and name them one by one? You think God has nothing to do? He named that star, he say, John Lamb. I'm going to looking forward to see Jesus. Say, Jesus, where is my star? You understand? Why would he name them one by one? Sa Li Feng, right? You like one light that you're going to show it to me? What you have? Now you better be faithful in serving God. You get that? Don't spend so much time on Facebook, right? Give me
you have
five.
Facebook?
Yeah.
Did you build it up? I have an account. I never build it up. Don't have time.
Okay, now. Where are we?
Facebook.
Jesus, no, not Facebook.
Star.
No.
Star.
Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. And he loved us so much. If he gave his one and only son to us, if God gave his one and only son to us, how much more will he not give everything to us together with Jesus Christ? Heir of all things, right beside heir of all things, you write down Roman, other than 8:17, you make comma 32. You read that. And 32.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. For us all.
For us all.
Okay.
For all
he who
same
did
thing.
Not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
You see that? God has the intention to give us all things. And we think we are very poor. We work so hard for the mortgage. Like Grant, you know the guy Grant? Work like a slave?
No,
Grant?
Not.
Not
used
now?
To be, used
not
to
now?
Be.
Okay, that's better. That's better. That's,
okay.
That is better. We are heir of all things together with Jesus Christ. Remember that. If God did not spare his own son, one and only son, but give Jesus Christ up for us all, how much more will God the Father not also, along with Jesus Christ, graciously give us all things. Joyce, do you know why Daddy asked you to memorize Bible verses? If you memorize, everything linked together. When you see, oh, Jesus, the heir of all things, you remember 8:32, you remember 8:17, I'm co-heir with Christ. All this kind of stuff will come back. You don't need to go to seminary to be a good preacher. You need to memorize Bible verses to be a good preacher. Because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, if you remember what you have believed in the very beginning, if you remember God's word in your heart, you live in Jesus Christ and you live in God. When you live in Jesus Christ, that means Jesus Christ lives in you. Will he not help you to preach and preach it well? Will he not help you to act and act like Jesus? You understand what I'm trying to say? You don't need to go to seminary. You need to memorize Bible verses. Does it make sense? Do you understand now? Who is heir of all things?
Jesus Christ.
Who else?
Us.
It's good, eh? That is good stuff, man. But in the last hour, in the last day, God has spoken to us by his son. In other words, if you do not believe in his son, that means you do not believe in God. Because God say, I spoke to you by his son. You don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in God. So, what the author of Hebrew is saying the same thing of what John is saying. Do you remember I studied 1 John? Take a look at it. 1 John chapter 5 First John chapter 5 and verse 10, let's say. Could you read that? Yeah. All the way to 12?
Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
In verse 9.
We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son.
God given a testimony about his Son. And then God spoke to us through his Son. Do you know, I spent so much time to study the entire book of Gospel of John. You know what, you know what John recorded Jesus saying? Jesus said, I don't speak according to my own will. I speak according to what God command in God's will. You do not listen to me, that means you do not listen to God. Sounds like he's a boastful man. Sounds like he's a proud man. But he's telling you the truth. And then he say, I think Gospel of John, I think 8:20. Anyone who believe, anyone who receive the person whom I send, receive me. Anyone who receive me, receive God. I think it's 8:20. Let's see. See why. What I remember, right? Not 8:20. Sorry. I think it's 8:40. No? Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 20. Read that, please.
I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me.
In other words, in the last portion of verse, chapter 13, verse 20, if you accept Jesus' teaching, you accept God the Father, because God the Father sent Jesus, isn't it? 13:20. So that is exactly what. So what John is saying, recorded Jesus saying, is exactly what the book of Hebrews is saying. So, you know, some people ask me, I'm not recording that. That there's no battery probably.
Oh, that's okay.
So you recording that, eh? Okay, that's good. Now. I want to stop here. I want to tell you one. Some people ask me, you know what kind of question they ask me? He say, okay, in those days, when Jesus was around, there's only Old Testament. There's no New Testament. Only Jesus passed away and then resurrected and ascended to heaven. And later on, the disciple write it down. And they ask me the question. They say, how do you know when you receive the epistle, when you receive the letter that they're writing? The books they're writing, how do you know this is Bible? You know what? If I study the Gospel of John, and then I study Hebrew, I find out what they write. It's exactly the same as what John say. I know it's the same thing. I know it's God's word. You know what? In those days, 1,000 years ago, there's no television. People don't spend time in television. At that time, they don't have Facebook. They have nothing but spending time reading Bible. They memorize the Bible verses. When they read it, they know this is God's word. You know, you give me a book, I read it. And I know what that book, whether it's God's word or not God's word. I know right away. Because I memorize God's word. They have no TV. They read the Bible all the days of his life. All the time of his life. When they read it, and then they gather together, they say, what do you think? They say, yeah, I believe that's God's word. And you say, yeah, I believe that's God's word. You understand? Now you don't believe in, nowadays, the pastor, they don't read Bible all the time. So, you got to watch out. So you got to read it yourself. You understand? Read it and memorize it. Verse 2 again. But in the last day, God has spoken to us by his Son. I want you to write beside that, God has spoken to us by his Son. Write down Gospel of John 13:20. Right beside 13:20, you write Hebrew chapter 1 verse 2. 13:20. You write down Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, okay, I give you a literal translation of Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 20. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I will say the same thing. I tell you the truth. If you believe in Pastor John, you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in God the Father. You understand what I'm trying to say? Whoever accept anyone I send, accept me. That means Jesus Christ spoke through Pastor John. And God spoke through Jesus. You understand? And then the criteria. What was the criteria of a pastor? You have to speak God's word. Otherwise, you are a liar. You're not a preacher. You cannot spend time telling story. Don't waste time telling story. You don't need a worldly story to explain God's truth. You need Bible to explain God's truth. Using God's word to explain God's truth. Okay? Now, God has spoken to us by his Son. Now, his Son has spoken to us through the apostle. Where does it say? Chapter 2. Could you read that? Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Yeah. Hebrew 2, 1 to 4.
We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him.
That means the apostle.
God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
So how do I know this servant is God's servant? Because when this servant speaking God's word, God also testified to this servant by sign, by wonder, by various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit to prove that. That is God's servant. But more importantly, I don't put so much on miracle, I put more on the word of God. So when you preach, you got to make sure you preach the word of God. Give them people say, okay. Now, how do I know Hebrew chapter 1 verse 2 is God's word? But in the last day, God has spoken to us by his Son. You know what? Jewish people feel very turned off when he see that. But he say, oh, I only believe in John. If you believe in John, Gospel of John say the same thing, 13:20. But if you say, I don't believe in Apostle John, nor do I believe in the book of Hebrews, then nothing I can do. You understand what I'm trying to say? How can God speak to us in the past? Is it God speak to us through the prophet? If you do not believe in the prophet, what happened? I want you to write beside the prophet, you write down 2 Chronicles 20:20, if I remember right. Second Chronicles 20, verse 20. What Jehoshaphat say? Jehoshaphat stood and said to the Jewish people, say to the people in Jerusalem. What did he say? He said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be success. You will be successful. You understand what I'm trying to say? You say, oh, I only believe in God. I don't believe in that prophet. You don't believe in God. Because God spoke to you through the prophet. Don't ever tell me you believe in God without believing in the prophet. So right beside the prophet, what did you write down? 2 Chronicles 20:20. Don't ever tell me in Old Testament time, if you tell me that you believe in God, you better believe in the prophet, right? Because in the past, God spoke to our forefather through the prophet at many times and in various ways. But in the last day, in the last hour, God has spoken to us by his son. If you say you believe in God and you do not believe in his son, you make him out a liar. Because God say, I spoke to you through my son. That is exactly what Apostle John saying. So I want you to write it down right beside 1 John chapter 2 verse 18, I say, right? And then I want you to also write down 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9, all the way to 12. 9 to 12. Chapter 5, 9 to 12. God spoke to us by his son. So in other words, if you do not believe in the Son of God, you do not believe in God. And you make him out to be a liar. I want you to read that one more time. 5, 9 to 11. If you do not believe in that, you do not have eternal life. Unfortunately, Jewish people until now, they still do not believe Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. It's very, very unfortunate. And I believe, you know what? Just like what the book of Zechariah is saying, they have to go through fire. They go through testing, suffering. And then eventually they look up, oh, they see Jesus coming down. They know he's the Messiah. It's really sad. Chapter 5, verse 9.
We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is a testimony of God, which he has given about his son.
You know why Apostle John saying that we accept man's testimony? Because they believe in the rabbi. They should have believed in God's testimony. How can I not believe in rabbi and believe in God's testimony? You read the Bible yourself. You understand? You read the Bible yourself, then you don't just accept man's testimony. You accept God's testimony. Okay? God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his son. If you say you do not believe in it, that means you do not believe in God. Verse 10.
Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe in God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son.
What makes a person believe in God's testimony? He has to have what? What has to be in his heart? Joyce?
Holy Spirit.
No, in verse 10 he didn't talk about Holy Spirit, but I know it's Holy Spirit because God's word is Holy Spirit. What is in his heart? You read that one more time.
Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar.
This testimony is what?
God's testimony.
God's testimony is what? It's God's word. God makes his testimony in his word. Right? So in other words, how can I believe in God? Right beside this testimony, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 5. Let me see. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 42. And 38. Read 38 verse.
Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent.
I want you to write it down. Gospel of John, right beside this testimony, you write down Gospel of John 5:38, and then 42. Through God's testimony, we can believe in Jesus. How can I believe in Jesus? What's the criteria? You have to have two things within your heart. The love of God and the word of God. If you do not have these two things within your heart, my brother and sister, you have a hard time in believing God's word. The more God's word that is hidden within your heart, the easier for you to believe in Jesus. Do you know what? Like, George, when you go to study engineering, what was the first thing they teach you? You know, if he's a good professor. What's the first thing they teach you if you go to commerce? They teach you terminology. What is debit? What's credit? You don't even know this terminology. All these things, you won't understand what he's talking about. You have to know the terminology, first of all. The more terminology hidden within your heart, the more easy for you to understand the business. You have to know what's debit, what's credit. For engineering, you have to know the engineering terminology. For you to understand God's word to believe in Jesus, you have to have the what? Two things within your heart. God's love. And God's word. In those days, Jesus said, the reason why you do not believe in me, you do not believe in God, because you do not have God's word within your heart. You do not have God's love within you. You do not love God. If you love God, you will believe in God. So the more we have the word of God, the more easier for us to believe in God. Could you read that 38:42? Well, start with 37 first, so that the whole thing you can see there.
And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent.
So in order for the Jewish people to believe in, to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he has to have God's word dwell within his heart, right? He didn't have that. 42. Watch, start with 41.
Okay. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts.
So what do they have in their heart? The praise for man. The love of man. They want people to love him. They don't want God to love him. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you want people to praise you in the church, then you cannot, you do not believe in God. You know, you know what Jesus said to Peter? Satan, away from me. He didn't get praise from Jesus. He would say, oh, you call me Satan, next week you won't see me. But Peter still followed Jesus. He didn't like the praise of man. He loved to have the praise from God. Brother and sister, make sure you have the love of God within your heart and God's word. God's love and God's word. Without that, you are finished. You have a difficult time to believe in God. Do you know why I say God's love? If you know that God loves you, and he tells you to do certain things, although it hurt, you say, wow, God loved me anyway, he will deliver me. He has a reason to ask me to do that. I can rely on him. I can count on him. I can count on his deliverance. I know he will deliver me. I know he will bless me anyway. But you say, oh God, I don't love God. No way you will believe in him. No way you will follow him. You have to have two things within your heart. What do I say, Sally?
God's love.
And?
God's word.
Two things. Where does it say? Gospel of John 5:38
and 41.
42.
Oh, 42.
Okay? Now, what's stopping you from believing God? You have man's word, man command, man teaching. What's stopping you from believing God? You have rabbi teaching. Rabbi say, no, Jesus is not the Messiah. You believe in man testimony, man command. What else stopping you believing God? You have man praise. You love men to praise you. If people say, sorry, you're bad, you shouldn't do that, then you walk away, you are foolish. You understand what I'm trying to say? You have to have God's love, not man's love. You have to have God's word, not man's word. Then you can believe in God. When you believe in God, it pleases God to believe in God, to have faith in God. Could you read it? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. What did the Bible say? Without faith, no one can please God.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
The more you have God's word within your heart, you know why? At first, when I hear the gospel, when I hear someone preaching God's word to me, I do not believe in it because I do not have God's word in my heart. The more I study the Bible, the more my life was changed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not afraid people say, oh, I cannot believe in God now. I know why you do not believe in God. Because you do not have God's love within your heart. You do not have God's word. But the more you study the Bible, eventually your life will be changed. Because the more you study the Bible, you know God loves you. Then you can count on him. You can trust him. I go for it. I take a risk. And lo and behold, I get blessing. Oh, I know God is faithful. God is good. Isn't it daddy saying to you, go and serve God on every Sunday? And now you study well? Is it God's truth? Or did I try to deceive you?
No, you didn't try to deceive me.
You followed that too, right? Wow, that's good for you, guy, man. My parents didn't tell me that, okay? I lead them to Christ. They don't need me to Christ. When I was young, they don't teach me God's word. Okay? Now, in the last day, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Although Jesus was appointed to be heir of all things, God also appointed us to be heir of all things too. We are co-heir with Christ. Heir of God, co-heir with Christ. Remember that? And through whom God made the universe. Through Jesus Christ, God made the universe. I want you to write it down. God made the universe through Jesus Christ. How come God made the universe through Jesus Christ? I want you to write down 11:3. 11:3. Read that.
By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
So, by God's, the universe was formed at God's command. What is God's command? God's command is Jesus Christ. You understand? You write that down, Gospel of John 1:1-2, and then you write down, right beside God's command, who is God's command? Revelation 19:13. What's the name of Jesus? God's command. The Word of God. That is His name. Who is Jesus? The Word. The Logos. So God's command. God say, let there be light. There was light. God spoke. Let there be light. There was light. That Word is Jesus. So God made the universe through Jesus. That is Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus, that means you don't believe that God created the universe. Because God created the universe through Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? Read all these Bible verses that I quoted. First of all, Revelation 19:13. What is the name of Jesus Christ? And then Gospel of John 1:1-2. Both books was written by Apostle John.
He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God.
His name, Jesus' name, is the Word of God. The Word of God is God's command, right? So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 saying, by faith we understand that the universe was formed as God's command. That means the universe was formed by God through His Son Jesus Christ. Isn't it? By God through His Son Jesus Christ. His Son Jesus Christ is God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What is seen was made out of God's command. Made out by God, created by God through Jesus. So that's why the Bible says, God made the universe through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ means God's command. Okay? How about 1:1? And 1:1-2, Gospel of John.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
And then verse 14.
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only.
The Word became flesh. What does it mean? When you look at Jesus, you see God. You see the Word. When you listen to His saying, you listen to God's saying. Because the Word become flesh. Born through Virgin Mary. The people, you know, unfortunately, the Jewish people say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. How sad it is. Right? You know why? Because they believe in Rabbi. The Jewish teacher. Human command. Unfortunately. Why? They are lazy. They don't study the scripture. If they study themselves, they won't be deceived. You know what happened to the... You know, in those days, the Jewish Christian were deceived by Satan. Do you know what? Now the Christian nowadays are deceived by false pastor too. Don't you know? Don't say, oh, the Jewish people are stupid. We Christians are stupid also. We only believe in the pastor. We don't study the scripture. And they deceive you. You understand? Go back to what? God's word. And love God. If you tell me you love God, you better love his word. Don't ever tell me you love God without reading his word. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to memorize your word and to meditate on it. And they sin against you, especially the Jewish people sin against you, they don't even know that. They thought they served God. And anyone who believed that Jesus is the Messiah, anyone who proclaimed that Jesus is the Messiah, they kicked them out of the synagogue and they persecuted them. They thought they served God, and yet they sinned against God. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes. We can see the wonderful thing that is written in your word. The reason why in those days they don't believe in you, because they don't have the word of God hide within their heart. If they study in thoroughly, they know Jesus is God's spokesman. If they study God's word, they study Old Testament, they know God spoke to us by his son through Jesus Christ. He created the universe. He made the universe. He formed the universe by God's command. Lord, I pray that you help us to remember that, so that we are rooted in you, we are established in you, we won't be uprooted, we won't fall. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I...